Support for Around the House with Eric G is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer today for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping with the code DIY at manscaped.com. Now, Manscaped hooked me up with a bunch of tools and formulations from their Perfect Package 3.0 kit. Manscaped has created the best hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and easy. Now, of course, you don't use the same trimmer you use on your face. That's just nasty. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yeah, that stinks. Speaking of sweaty and stinky, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps you from sweating, smelling, and sticking. Hey, it's that time of year, right? Manscaped threw in two free gifts into their Perfect Package. A pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep you feeling fresh all day, and a travel shed bag to store all of your grooming goodies. You gotta have a shed for the tools, right? So, keep yourself clean and trimmed up. Now, get 20% off free shipping with code DIY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code DIY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please.
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
Stop it! Stop what you're doing!
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G., your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Well, today I wanted to talk about backup power because I've lost power five times this last year? I know plenty of people have as well. I don't care if you're in Texas, on the West Coast, or in hurricane country. It is a common problem that's becoming more and more common. And if you've got an electric car, what kind of problem is that going to cause for you down the road? So let's run out here to Jake Van Wormer from Generac Power Systems. Welcome, brother, to Around the House.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on today, man. I tell you what, it has been a struggle. And you know, I've got a little portable generator from another company that I won't mention, and twice this year recording my show, I had this gas generator about 20 feet away from my house. I had some soundproofing between that and my studio, and I was literally recording my show on backup power because I had to get that thing on the air. And with people working from home like no other time in the world, that's getting to be a bigger deal out there.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, in the past, when we think about backup power, you know, it's traditionally been due to hurricanes or other weather-related events. But now you throw into the mix those public safety power shutoffs out there in the West. You know, we're not seeing the typical power outages and power shutoffs that people have been used to. And out West, you guys simply don't have many weather events. So for a lot of people, this is new. It's educational. And before, you know, you probably weren't even looking into portable power, you know, before these public safety shutoffs. So there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to backup power, and definitely the environment of, you know, whether it's global warming or an aging power grid is causing a lot of people to start doing their research into backup power, whereas they wouldn't even thought about it before. And then you throw the work from home on top of it. You know, there's just so much more things that people need access to during the day, whether it's working from home, like you mentioned, learning from home, you know, schooling. That's so important for young children. And having power and access to those tools on a daily basis is that much more important versus, you know, the traditional model that we used to see.
Man, it's amazing, you know, and I've got what I call the old school, you know, manual transfer switch, so I can at least do it safely. But I tell you what, in the Northwest here, you know, we've been watching California, and I'm in Portland, Oregon, and, you know, we're heard all over the country with the radio show and, of course, the podcast. But here in the Northwest, we had people saying, oh, man, California, they keep turning the power off. It'll never happen up here. And I'm like, no, you just wait. And up here on Mount Hood this last winter, the news didn't really cover it much, but I saw it and went, oh, there we go. The public utility shut down the power for a few days because they had a windstorm coming through there. And I was like, there we go. There was the first little quiet test in the Northwest of reducing that risk to everything. And it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. We had an ice storm this year. We have ice storms. But I live in the woods. I mean, we're in the, even though I'm in a metro area, we have tons of trees that are protected here. And we had 1.25 inches of ice in one ice storm. And of course, that brought trees down. We were down power for 5 days. So, you know, it, with my little system, I still used about 60 gallons of gas, which was its own struggle. And there's so much better ways of doing this now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the large benefits of home standby generators. You know, they're automatic and they're going to be there ready to run no matter what the situation, whether you're home or not. And that's one thing that, you know, we really, you know, we pioneered that home standby market, and we really have launched innovative products and innovative solutions. Most recently with our 24 kW, which is the largest air cooled product in the market today. And really that it's just a hands-off approach, right? It's going to be there. If the power's out, if you go to the grocery store, it's going to turn on when you're away. Even when you're at home during the night, it's going to be there for you. It's going to turn on when you need it the most. So that's really, you know, talk about backup solutions, a home standby, you know, that's the best solution out there because it's hands off. And that can run on natural gas or propane. There's no refueling, there's no electrical cords. It's set up, ready to go, and just waiting to you know, start up and run when it's called upon.
I saw you guys came out with that 24K unit. I'm like, man, that is perfect for that large house or somebody that's got, you know, lots of electrical stuff going on where they're, you know, really going to use all that power. That's a lot of power for backup. It's impressive.
It is. And, you know, it's the largest generator of the market from an air-cooled perspective. Prior to that 24, we came out with the 22. And that's the second largest, believe it or not. So we kind of jumped over ourselves and just kind of pushed the envelope there. But when you talk about backup solutions, there's quite a few different options that consumers or homeowners have at their disposal that are in the market today. You know, Generac offers everything from, you know, I'll call it the good, where you have an inverter or a portable generator. You know, you're running extension cords and just kind of powering what you want to power at that time. You know, a refrigerator, a few lights here and there. Or you have, you know, kind of the middle of the better, which is a larger portable, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there with a manual switch to where you're able to run your HVAC and other hardware appliances, you know, that you can't just plug into a power outlet. And then the best, like I talked about, is just that standby generator. It's going to watch out for you no matter what the occasion. And with these power safety shutoffs, you know, sometimes you're getting a day or two of advance notice at that. I actually spent time in California, I think it was a year and a half ago already, where we went out there and visited some of these consumers who were impacted by the safety shutoff, and they're just so frustrated because it can be 3 to 4 days at a time, and they were saying it was 3 to 4 times a year. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of days without power.
That's a lot of food getting thrown away.
Yeah, that's just it's not. I mean, you just do the math equation there. A standby system is going to end up be saving you money, you know, and especially if you look at different demographics, you know, the older population, maybe they just can't lug out that portable. It's just so important to have backup power because you just don't know when weather events are going to happen. They're happening more often. They're lasting longer. You know, you look at the Southeast and hurricanes, you know, they're becoming more frequent. And you look at the number of named storms that are projected for this year. You know, we're projecting another year with a lot of storm activity. So it's just so important to kind of create and plan ahead so that you can kind of create your own energy strategy and make sure that your, you know, your comfort level is what you want it to be. So I think that's kind of the decision process you know, you look at the different options is, you know, what's your comfort level? Do you just want an automatic solution? Are you comfortable pulling out the portable, you know, making sure it's filled up and ready to go? Those are some of the different takeaways that consumers, you know, have to think through as they're looking through the buying process.
Well, that's why you guys have such a good system. Because for me, I mean, I've got my portable that is heavy. I mean, I haven't tried this yet, but I don't think my wife, you know, who is fairly tiny, can grab that thing, drag it out, you know, get it away from the house, plug it in. She can handle the plug-in stuff, but then there's the, oh, and you got to put gas in it, and now I got to store all that gas. If I'm gonna run that for a day or two, I've got to have, you know, 15 gallons of gas sitting around plus a full tank. It's a lot to manage within that. And that's where that instant on automatic, you know, Wi-Fi enabled, I can be traveling. You know, there's a lot of benefits to that, that, you know, if you've got pets at home and you're out of town for the day or something like that, going out and having a good time and the power's off, guess what? Everything's safe because it kicked on and the house is not going to seem any different.
Yeah, and again, standby power, it's not so much set it and forget it. But again, it's going to be there and ready to run when you need it the most, whether you're at the store, whether you're traveling, or even when you're home. And you know, you kind of made the point of portables. You do have to have fuel on hand. You have to stop the generator, refuel it, you know, start it back up. Whereas the standby solution, it's just running at all times. So that's really the best solution out there today. And we're seeing it's an appliance. You know, I kind of relate it to a dishwasher, whereas, you know, a few years back, dishwashers weren't they weren't found on every home. So yep. Now you look forward with all the different trends we're seeing with the impact from COVID, people working from home. You know, I do expect generators to be more of that mainstream dishwasher kind of appliance, to where new constructions are thinking about putting these in up front. People are making the investment in their homes and for remodels. You know, this is an appliance and a home improvement project, if you will, from a home standby perspective. People are making the investment in their home versus traveling and doing vacations just because, you know, maybe they're not comfortable venturing out yet, or, you know, there's so many different things to consider there. But home standbys are really coming, you know, into the forefront. If you consider only about 5% of homes today have a home standby installed, you know, there's definitely so much more room for growth. And I think some of the trends we're seeing are just going to kind of, improve, not improve necessarily, but increase the amount of people thinking about home standby just because they haven't done that research before. They haven't needed to do that research. But with all these different trends coming into play, they're starting to look at these, home standby products to where they hadn't thought about them in the past.
Well, and here's what's interesting too. And I live in a very nice neighborhood here in Portland, one of the higher end neighborhoods. Not tooting my own horn, but people can afford a lot of neat little things. And most people in my neighborhood are still doing the old school generator, because when I walk outside, all I can smell is, it sounds like I'm standing next to somebody's 20-year-old lawnmower that's been running, and I can just feel that fuel oil, you know, smell of carbon monoxide. And I tell you what, it smelled horrible outside during that whole time, because so many people are running generators, and with the way the weather was, the air pollution was just absolutely horrible in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's when you get a lot of people running generators. I call it the kind of sounds like a hornet's nest. So one example I'll give you, I traveled down to Florida after Hurricane Irma hit as part of our storm response program. And I was part of a group of guys that went down there to repair some generators or get a maintenance, just because there's so many people in Florida that have home standby generators because of all the hurricanes and storm activity that they get.
Sure.
They're aware of that. And once you get a lot of generators in a neighborhood, you can kind of just hear that buzzing noise, right?
It was horrible.
It's kind of cool at first, but then, you know, I can imagine at times if you don't have one, it's probably a little more top of mind. But, you know, those people that have them, it kind of puts them right to sleep because they know they're protected and they feel that peace of mind that generator's running and kind of providing power to their home.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I like a natural gas or propane style versus the old, you know, unleaded fuel for powering a home, because there's so many things that it's quieter and the impact on the environment is so much different, because you're not just running that, large riding lawnmower engine from many of these generators to power your house.
Yeah, that's right. And natural gas is a clean fuel source, right? It's one of the cleaner burning fuel types. And these things are running, you know, pretty often, depending on the outage of the storm or the weather activity. So, you know, these things do run off, and we want to make sure they're clean for the environment. And again, natural gas is one of those cleaner fuel types that are out there, or even LP. I mean, there's some municipalities that maybe don't have natural gas availability. So LP is also another alternative. And again, that's one of the other cleaning run fuel types that are out there today.
Yeah, it's so much better. And because it's running on natural gas, you guys do a great job with sound control as well. I have heard them running before, and I was shocked at how much power it was putting out with so little noise.
Yeah, and that's one thing we understand, right? So this is a home backup product. It's the best on the spectrum. So we want to make sure that since it is running more frequently and more often, that it doesn't have its impact to consumers' lifestyles, right? Whether it's outside your bedroom window or the basement or what have you, we want to make sure there's much minimum impact to their lifestyle as possible. So, you know, we definitely take that into consideration when we design these products, so that, you know, they're not impacting day-to-day lifestyle.
And that's great. Plus, if I remember right, all your stuff is made in USA, correct?
Yeah, everything that we have from a home standby perspective is assembled right here in Wisconsin. So, you know, whether it's Whitewater or Jefferson, we have quite a few facilities here right in Wisconsin that these are manufactured. And we also produce our own engines and alternators in the same facility. So, you know, really proud to manufacture these products in the United States. So, you know, we're going to continue making those products. We actually have a new facility in South Carolina that we're looking to get up and running and everything else to meet the demand of these products. You know, like I said, the weather events are more frequent, and a lot of people are doing the research on home standbys, and we want to make sure we're able to meet their needs.
That's great. Well, let's back up for a minute. Let's say that someone is going, man, I am tired of having power outages in my area. I'm concerned about them coming up in the future. Where's the best place for them to start this kind of process of trying to figure out what their next steps are?
First and foremost, I'd recommend going to Generac.com, and there's a few different solutions or a few different ways that the consumer can get, you know, I'm going to call it start their planning, right? Because
yeah.
We talk about, it's not just a 1 to 2 week process, right? This is a home improvement project. So the first step is getting in contact with a dealer, and we can set you up. If you go to Generac.com, we can get you in contact with the closest dealer. We have over 7,000 dealers in our network today. No matter where you are, we're going to have a dealer for you. So that's the first step, going to Generac.com. We'll get you set up. The second step is having that dealer come out and walk the consumer through the purchase process. And they're going to ask you a lot of different questions as far as lifestyle questions of, you know, what do you want to back up? What's most important to you to back up? And there's a few different scenarios, you know, whether it's just a limited circuit application where it's just, you know, maybe two rooms and a refrigerator, or a partial house to where, you know, you're getting maybe a bathroom, the refrigerators, water heater, that kind of thing, or whole house coverage, which is, you know, no change, right? You're getting everything backed up that you'd run on a daily basis. So they'll kind of walk you through and ask you some very, specific questions on what you're looking to back up and what you're comfortable, what you want your comfort level to be during an outage. So they'll kind of walk through that, and then, you know, that's where the permit process will start, and, you know, the installation process, and that can take some time. So, you know, it really goes back to that planning stage of it's never too early to start, right? You want to start early because this does take time. You will have to do permits. There's gas meter upgrades and other things that have to take place. So, you know, it's not a 1 to 2 week process. And some people do, you know, they're a little surprised at that point, but you know, it does take time, especially with some of the demand we're seeing. You know, so start your planning early. Definitely recommend going to our website, getting some more information. We have a lot of great tools and resources available for you. And then, you know, contacting that dealer and getting that in-home consultation done. And then they'll walk you through next steps and what the installation and the installation process looks like after that.
And one thing I would recommend to people out there is strongly take a look at powering your whole house, because it's not much of a bigger spend to turn into doing your whole house versus part of it. Most of your price is just getting into getting the system installed and getting that that generator in there, it's not a huge jump to go from a small one to a big one for a standard residential property.
Yeah, it can depend on the installation, but for the most part, that's absolutely correct. And especially with all the different, you know, we're spending more time at home. So if you think about the trends and what's going on, we're spending more time at home. It's so much more important to have the whole house backed up, because that's where we're spending all of our time nowadays. You know, there's not as many vacations that are taking place and everything else. So, you know, limited travel, spending more time at home, now is the right time to make that investment in the whole house system. Because you're right, the cost, you know, isn't so much more, but, you know, the return on your investment, you're just getting so much more out of that investment since you are spending more time at home. A whole house solution is definitely the way I would go, you know, every single time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, some people go, oh, well, if we don't put the bedrooms in and some of that stuff, but now you start thinking about, okay, when you go to sleep at night, do you want to have your phone in the other room because you can't charge it in there? You know, there's so many different, you know, do you want your alarm clock to work? You know, there's all those different things that you think about, oh, maybe I'm saving a few grand over the whole price of a project, but really, you get a lot of value onto that. And if you're not going on that cruise anyway this summer, so you might as well spend it on something else that's going to give you peace of mind around your house.
Yeah, it boils down to convenience and comfort. You know, we want to be comfortable in our own homes just because we are spending so much more time there. And you're right. Why change your lifestyle habits, you know, during those outages if they're happening more frequently? Just enjoy, you know, your typical lifestyle. And that's what a home standby allows you to do. It's peace of mind. You know, if something occurs, you don't have to change what you're doing. You don't have to drop, you know, anything at that point in time to go pull out the portable. You just keep living and doing what you're doing at that point in time, and there's no impact, right? So yeah, that's, to me, the most powerful thing from a home standby generator. And if you look at some of the other trends that are out there, we see a lot of electrification of other appliances, EVs, for example. So many more people are purchasing EVs, and it's important to have backup power for your electric vehicle.
Right.
Because if you don't, you're stuck at home and you can't drive. We're so reliant on our vehicles nowadays. I can't imagine not being able to drive, go to the grocery store or what have you. It's just so important to give yourself that mobility. And with an EV, you have to have a backup solution. And again, it goes all the way back to what I said up front. You need that energy strategy. And if you have an EV, it's that much more important to kind of factor that into your energy strategy and your planning. Because if you don't have power, you're not mobile, and you can't get to a gas station to refill a gas can, you're kind of stuck in the mud and you're without power for, you know, if you're on the West 3 to 4 days at a time. And that's just tough living. And, you know, a lot of people don't have, you know, their emergency kits set up ahead of time. So, you know, they're going to be able to be able to do that.
Yeah, we had in Portland here with that ice storm, we had, I think it was 62% of our metro area was down for power from anywhere from 3 to 14 days. Now, wow. It was ugly here. And I was making the comment on my radio show, and I said this back then, and I'll say it again now. If you've got a couple of EV, you know, and maybe you've got that cool Volt or that Tesla or whatever you're driving out there, and guess what? You're in a world of hurt if you can't charge that thing. And the line out in front of any other charging stations that might have power is going to be ridiculous. So you're running into a bunch of different issues with that, as well as people that are doing fleet vehicles and things like that are working out in the trades or anything else. So, yeah, if you're going to run an electric car, backup power is a must-have in my book.
Yeah, and you touched on an interesting point, too. You know, it's not just for a homeowners, but also for commercial. You know, if they do have an EV fleet, you know, they're going to have a backup generator as well, because, you know, it's not acceptable to not be able to generate that revenue over those few days, right? You have to have that income stream. And that generator is just such a big piece of that strategy, whether it's a home or a business. You know, it's just important to keep moving on, keep doing what you're doing. And a generator allows that peace of mind, that flexibility that you wouldn't have had prior. And that electrification trend is going to keep growing. And that's why it's so important to think about these things ahead of time, so that you can kind of, you can make your strategy and not have an impact to your lifestyle.
Yeah. And my prediction, looking at our electrical grid out there, and I'm not by no means some big certified expert on this, but with, You know, I just saw a news story here that Washington State, which is right across the river from me and a big part of our listening audience as well, wants to make electric cars the only way to purchase a vehicle, have no gas-powered cars for sale past 2030. Well, guess what? When we've got an electrical grid that's already fairly maxed out and we're going to put that many more in there, the chances of having more power outages are even higher then. So that doesn't mean that we're going to have less. I think we're going to have more, like we were saying. And I think that's one of those to be considered about.
That's absolutely right. And you look at the grid today, you know, the traditional grid model, you've had a pretty consistent demand from an electricity standpoint. You know, you get your peak rates in the morning and when you get home from work. But now that you're going to throw all of those electric vehicles on the grid at one time, say the whole population comes home from work at one time, and they're all charging their EVs, that is such a big stress on the grid today that that was never built to handle those loads. You know, so there's other things that have occurred. You know, you look at the utility model out west, you know, they're starting to shut down some of those gas-fired generators mm-hmm. that produce the electricity, and they're going to solar farms and other clean energy sources. You know, it's important for those to be able to scale up to meet that new and existing load. So when I say the new, it's all those EVs that we're talking about. Those were not accounted for when the old grid model was produced. So if they're not scaling up to meet that, you know, you're going to have a lot more outages just because the grid can't handle all that load and the demand that's put on it.
And there's other stuff that's going to make it even worse on top of that I think is going to compound this is, for instance, in Seattle, they want to get rid of most natural gas appliances. So they're going to get people, you know, the natural gas dryer, the gas range, the water heater, and they want people to convert those to electric. So they're going to give people some incentives to do that. I get it. Cool. However, that's just more load on the electrical grid.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's one of the largest, problems with that approach is you're generating so much more demand from an electric standpoint on that grid. You know, natural gas is a clean energy. It's efficient and it's very cost effective. You know, the second you start putting all your eggs in one basket, going to electric everything, you know, you do need a generator at that point, you know, whether it's an LP or even a portable with an empty manual transfer switch, because then you're stuck in the mud. Your heater's tied to your electric, your water heater. I mean, that's putting all your eggs in one basket, and that's just making you more dependent on electricity. Whereas that natural gas it's safe, it's effective, and it's very cost effective as well.
Nice. I have a question on your generators. I see if you're on the Generac.com and start to look at the home backup generators, there's a lot of them that say Wi-Fi enabled. What does that mean to you guys?
Wi-Fi enabled means peace of mind. And it's peace of mind for a consumer because they can monitor the status of their generator no matter where they are. So whether it's a vacation home or they're out getting groceries or, you know, they're on a business trip and spending the night away and their families at home, it's being able to monitor the status of your generator when you're not there. You know, we talk a lot about the generator being kind of that guardian. It's watching over the home. It's got to work when it's called upon. And that app, the Wi-Fi functionality in our mobile link app allows the consumer to see that. But on top of that, we also have a dealer service as well to where, you know, your dealer can monitor the generator and make sure that it's ready to run. Or if there's a problem, the dealer can go out and address that problem before the consumer even knows about it. You know, that's what Generac sells. It's peace of mind, letting you know that you're going to be okay when that power outage strikes because you are not going to know when there's a power outage unless it's a power safety shut off, but then you get a few days in advance. So it's peace of mind and being ready to run when it's needed most.
And I noticed too, you guys have jumped into the electricity storage, but I noticed for people like with solar that you guys are coming out with some options that are fairly new to the marketplace.
Yeah, we have, you know, our power cell solution, it's a modular system. If you look at other people, you know, you kind of buy this big cabinet and that's it. You know, for ours, you get the capability to flex up the system up and down based on your needs and your electricity usage. So that's something that, you know, we ventured into in the last few years. Ours is outdoor rated and it's just a simple, flexible installation process that not a lot of other people can provide. So, you know, we kind of took it back to basics, and that solution that's available today. And again, you can find all the information on Generac.com for that as well.
Jake Van Warmer, product manager of Generac, thanks for coming on today, man. Really, people should be considering this, especially if you're thinking about putting that new electric vehicle in your driveway or your garage. You better start thinking about backup power before you're stuck at home when you want to go out and do something.
Absolutely. I think just planning ahead for this, you know, it's just the grid challenges that we see in the future and the infrastructure, the aging grid, you know, whether it's climate change and some of the increased weather events, or just the electrification of the different appliances today. It's so important to have backup power because we are spending more time at home. So, you know, if you're going to spend more time at home, you might as well enjoy it.
You got it, brother. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Got about backing that power up to your home. There's a lot of great information there. All right, we'll be back just after these important messages. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Around the House, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Man, I always like talking about kind of that storm prep kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Better to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you can have power. I mean, we didn't have power here for 4.5 days, and I went through all that gasoline, but...
And we did the show when you didn't even have power.
Yeah, a couple times now. You know, a couple times now. So that's awesome. Well, I wanted to kind of get some people caught up here because I'm seeing prices go through the freaking roof on everything in home improvement.
Across the board. And it's going up above where I thought it could, to be honest.
Dude, I needed to buy wire, and I went on to Lowe's and Home Depot and went, that's up twice what it was 3 months ago. But I'll give everybody a little secret.
Oh, yeah.
And this might be, by the time you get on there, it might be a little different. I jumped on Amazon and bought the exact same wire that I needed for a project for the price that it was a month ago. So I saved like 50% on this.
So where did it come from?
Same place.
Okay.
Same brand.
Okay.
Wholesaler that probably had pallets on the shelf.
Yeah.
But I think Home Depot and Lowe's and those guys, their prices are so volatile.
Yeah.
And by the way, steel prices here this last week, record highs.
It's the trend across the board. And yeah, places, the big box stores, the Lowe's and the Home Depot, are able to charge and kind of bump that up even more.
But now here's the thing. Steel prices going up. Let's think about that. What is that going to affect?
Construction.
We're talking, yeah, absolutely. Refrigerators, washers and dryers, heating and cooling systems. I know... Of 2021 here into 2022, I would expect a year from now. My prediction, I'm going to say that you're going to see 8 to 12% price increase on heating and cooling systems and refrigerators, washers, and dryers, and that kind of stuff.
What about things, I mean, like fixtures and handles and stuff like that? Is that all kind of
going to come up too? Because it's all metals.
Yep.
So that's going to come up. I think your biggest historical price increase that you're going to see. And I think this is going to be the biggest one in the last 30 years that I've seen. So this is going to be the epic one. That's going to be kitchen and bathroom cabinetry. That is the one that I expect to see in a year, a 20%, 30% price increase on. I'm expecting that to go through the roof. Why hasn't it so far? Because many times these lumber companies that are selling to these cabinet manufacturers, like the big ones, they'll have quarterly prices where they're going to say, okay, first quarter and second quarter, here's your price, and that's what you're going to buy from us at. So they have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're getting up into the middle of the year, now those contracts are kind of wearing out. Those are towards the end of the lifespan. So now you're going to see the new contracts coming out where they have to buy lumber and building material type stuff it's going to be much higher. You've got steel in the hinges. You've got all these things. I think we'll see. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything over than a 8 or 9% price increase. I think it could be 2 or 3 times that for this year. Oof. Now, the other thing, if you've been out working on irrigation projects out there, because of plastic shortages due to the couple weeks of Texas that I think should be coming back, and I question 2 weeks of Texas refinery issues turning into a global shortage.
Plastic.
But PVC pipe, some of the main manufacturers have said, yeah, we're missing some of the plastic, you know, components of us mixing up the plastics to mold PVC pipes. They're making the big stuff for the infrastructure projects. But if you're trying to work on a sprinkler system, try walking into a home center right now. You're short on all the fittings and the pipe. So it's hard to take on that new plumbing problem right now. Now, the other thing you're going to see, too, going up this year is roofing. Roofing is already probably 30 or 40% up over last year.
That's a big increase.
That is a big increase. It's coming to be more as we see oil prices get higher, and they're going to. We can just expect that. As those things get higher this year and next year, I think you're going to see those continue to go up, which means it's going to be more and more expensive. That's going to be tough. Now, how long is this going to last? There's the next question.
Well, and I think that depends on also the resources used to make these things. Because we're all seeing, I mean, it's been a running joke for weeks or months now at this point. The cost of wood, plywood, all of it. Now, I don't see this being a permanent thing. It's going to take some time to level back out. But as soon as we can get supply back in stores and mills reopened and everyone put back to work at a constant time, that price will come down. I don't see it happening soon,
though. No, I think we're going to see this for 2022. I think we'll start seeing some of this.
Effects through 2022.
Yeah, it'll be at least into that. You know, one thing I noticed on our Facebook page, which is Around the House with Eric G, we had a couple landowners comment this last week that said, hey, I'm not getting any more for my lumber than I did years ago. It's the mills that are making the money on this, and that's what's happening. So be careful out there. And you know, here's the thing. When people are going to obviously dial those projects back because they can't afford to do it at two or three times the cost. So you're going to see that get held off. Will that make this go longer? I don't know. It's going to be supply and demand. It always has been when we have these increases like this that factories and, you know, all these different places that are making this stuff turn around and go, man, I am going to increase production. I'm going to hire 3 more shifts. We're going to open up that old factory because people want to naturally profit off of that. But what that does is that puts more material in the pipeline, which now reduces cost, which now gets us in the better place for supply and demand.
We just haven't seen this be this out of balance, you know, where supply my lifetime is so low because people couldn't work for a year and demand is so high because everyone's at home and wants to do home improvement project that is so out of whack, and we need to kind of rebalance that out.
Yeah, it's going to take some time to balance that out. It's going to be a problem for a while, and there's no solutions when it comes to affordable housing with this too. We're going to see that $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000 added to a house for a while, and that's unfortunate. You know what time it is?
Time to wrap it up.
You got it. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by, designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media, and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at aroundthehouseonline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.